agenda. I guess I should find out first, was anything pulled?
No consent agenda.
Okay, thank you. So it will be heard in the afternoon when Commissioner Hardesty is present, and there's four of us. So please read our first time certain, item 624.
Authorize exchange agreement with the USDA Forest Service to execute a land exchange in the Bull Run watershed.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Madam President, and I misspoke. Commissioner Hardesty's vacation starts next week, so she will be back this afternoon, as you noted. I'm really excited to bring this item to Council. The Water Bureau and the U.S. Forest Service have collaborated on a proposal to exchange lands and consolidate land ownership in the Bull Run watershed. The City and the Forest Service have been partners in the management of the Bull Run watershed for more than 100 years. The land exchange reflects the trust and collaboration that defines this long-term partnership, which has been hard-earned and now is very solid, and I appreciate that. Edward Campbell, Director of Resource Protection and Planning for the Water Bureau, is here to describe the proposed exchange, and we're also glad to welcome Mount Hood National Forest Supervisor Richard Perryman to speak on behalf of the Forest Service. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us.
Good morning, Council. Again, Edward Campbell, Resource Protection and Planning Director for the Water Bureau, here with Richard Perryman, the Mount Hood National Forest Supervisor. Very pleased today to talk about the Bull Run Land Exchange. As Commissioner Fritz mentioned, the city's been working with the Forest Service for over a century in the Bull Run, and we've been working in a formal way on this proposal since 2010, so for almost 10 years. In contrast to our relationship and to this process, our presentation today is going to be short and sweet. So I'm going to go through a brief set of slides, and then Richard will have a chance to talk, and then we'll be available for questions. So if we can get the slides started. Thank you, Carla. So just a reminder, of course, for everyone, the Bull Run is the primary drinking water source for the city of Portland. It's located roughly 25 miles to the east of the city within the Mount Hood National Forest. And it is that resource, along with our Columbia South Shore well field, that allows us to meet the drinking water needs of nearly a million customers in the metropolitan area. A closer look at the Bull Run indicates the Bull Run Watershed Management Unit. That's the dark line you see there, and that encompasses about 147 square miles, roughly the same size as the city boundaries of the city of Portland. And the remarkable thing about that is that that entire land area is dedicated to the production of pure drinking water for the metropolitan area. Most of the area on this slide, it's hard to see with the contrast, and I'll have better slides later on to show you the contrast, but most of the area on that slide is shaded green, which indicates that it is in federal ownership. The city owns lands around the furthest reservoir to the west, Reservoir 2, and the land ownership split is roughly 95% federal ownership, 5% city ownership. And the history of the city's land ownership pattern really was dictated by when the city first identified and developed the Bull Run as a drinking water source in the 1880s and 1890s. It purchased private land holdings to acquire the water rights, and so therefore there isn't really a rationale to the acquisitions of lands. It was just what was available and what could be purchased at that time. So as we mentioned, we work in coordination with the Forest Service to manage and protect the watershed. And that is a relatively remarkable and rare occurrence for an area that is so much federal land. I think it's a rare thing that the city, as a non-federal partner, gets to have as much management oversight and participate directly in the protection of federal lands in the way that we do for the Bull Run. In 2007, the two parties, the Forest Service and the city, we entered into an updated long-term partnership agreement. And that agreement further defined the roles and responsibilities for watershed protection in the unit. The Water Bureau was basically, it resulted in the Water Bureau being the lead for the drinking water system and water resources, and the Forest Service being the lead on upland terrestrial resources, essentially the areas within the management unit that are further away from water resources, as well as roads decommissioning and fire planning response lead. The two agencies agreed to jointly conduct trespass and law enforcement, fire response planning and coordination, emergency management, and conservation education. So this is a little bit closer look at the area of city and federal ownership within the management unit. And what you'll notice there is what I mentioned before is that the city's ownership pattern in blue is scattered, not particularly close to the reservoirs or drinking water infrastructure. And so through that 2007 process, the Forest Service and the city acknowledged that we could better align the land ownership with the responsibilities that we had assigned out and further defined through that process. So the joint goal really going into this was to figure out a way to consolidate the city's land ownership around the reservoirs and the associated drinking water infrastructure within the unit. So the lands identified for exchange are indicated here in the darker colors. The dark green are the lands that the Forest Service will be we propose to move to the city, and the darker blue are the city lands that would be moved to the Forest Service. In total, it's just over 2,200 acres of land that the city would be releasing while receiving just under 2,900 acres from the Forest Service. The two sets of parcels have been determined by a third-party appraiser to be of equal value, and therefore there will be no cash payment required to conduct this transaction. The differential in the two estates, the size of those two different estates, is basically due to the differing land values for lands that the city is acquiring. We are acquiring lands that are beneath Reservoir 1. Those inundated lands have a lower land value than lands that are not inundated. When it is complete, the land ownership parcel, or the land ownership pattern will look like this. The city will own the lands immediately adjacent to both of the supply reservoirs and the associated infrastructure. One notable benefit of this land ownership pattern is it will bring the federal hydropower project that is on Reservoir 1 and the associated Federal Energy Regulatory Commission footprint onto city-owned lands. That will result in the city avoiding a roughly $150,000 payment each year that it currently makes to FERC as the cost, basically a rental fee for producing hydropower on federal lands. The Forest Service conducted an environmental assessment of the effects of the land exchange. And that process was completed in March and concluded with a finding of no significant impact. The Water Bureau has followed up with briefings and check-ins with city stakeholders regarding the proposed exchange. Most of the input we've received has been that of one of support and recognizing the logic of the proposed land ownership pattern. One concern we did hear early on from stakeholders was the concern and question of whether lands that are moving from federal ownership into city ownership, would they have adequate protections, would they have equal protections to the lands that they currently do under federal ownership. The council in 2010 actually took action in response to some of these concerns, and at that time we actually added protections, bowland protections, to our Title 21 of the city code, and that those protections, the essential protections, were the public closure of the city lands within the management unit, and then the tree cutting protections, as well as land use restrictions. Those are embedded in our code, and as I think most people know, Commissioner Fritz is proposing later today to further strengthen those protections by seeking voter approval to move those into the city charter. So in summary, we are proposing a no-cash transaction of lands to better align our agencies' respective roles in protecting the watershed. The city will achieve annual savings for its hydropower operations going forward. Watershed protections will remain as stringent as they are in the current land ownership configuration. Next steps would be the council will vote at a second reading of whether or not to approve the ordinance. If it is authorized and the agreement is authorized, what we would do next is work with the Forest Service and Multnomah and Clackamas counties to complete the exchange process and result in a transfer of deeds. We would expect to formally complete that process by either late 2020 or early 2021. So with that, I'd like to invite Richard to comment on behalf of the Forest Service.
Good morning, Council, and I wanted to thank Edward Campbell for and the Portland Water Bureau for the excellent work and partnership that we've had over the many years. Of course, Edward wasn't here 100 years ago, but I wanted to thank him for all the great work and being such a great partner. The City of Portland and the Forest Service have been partners in this management of the Bull Run watershed for more than a century, and I think actually the Water Bureau or the watershed began actually before the Forest Service, so that's an interesting fact. The proposed land exchange is the latest evolution in this long-term partnership. The federal process that Edward referred to for considering a land exchange provides for very careful due diligence and multiple opportunities for public comment. In March of this year, I made a decision on behalf of the Forest Service that this exchange is consistent with federal law and policy and is in the public interest. The exchange will not change how the land is used or managed. The city land accepted into federal ownership will be managed under the longstanding protections of Public Law 95-200 as amended, and the federal land accepted into city ownership is already occupied and used by the city on a daily basis. The land exchange demonstrates a deep understanding by both the city and the Forest Service that water for the City of Portland from the Bull Run watershed is a long-term commitment and mutual objective of both agencies. The Forest Service is pleased to reach this important milestone in more than a decade-long process of this exchange and looks forward to a continuing partnership with the City of Portland. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parman, for being here. Thank you, Edward Campbell, for all of your work. I also need to note that Commissioner Fish was in charge of the Water Bureau for a lot of this work, so thank you, Commissioner, for your guidance of this process. I just have a technical question. We scheduled this hearing today in part because our colleagues could be here and also so that we could vote on it next week. The council has now lost a quorum for next week, which I'm quite sad about. I would like to be able to vote on this. Does it matter if we wait until the end of July to actually solidify this and have the second vote, to have the second reading?
No, that's not a problem.
Thank you. So we'll be having a second reading on July 25th, assuming that the support on the council. Thank you very much.
Keelan, is there any
24th,
testimony?
24th, I think.
Three people signed up: Lightning, Joe Walsh, and Maggie.
Welcome. Please state your name for the record. As you know, you each have 3 minutes, and your testimony should be relevant to the item.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We support this. We had the question of the safety of the 2,900 acres that were going to be moved from federal jurisdiction into the city, but that was answered in the presentation, and I was really glad to hear that. Anytime we get into the water system, we get nervous. So we see it. We only had that one question. It was answered, so we're going to support it. And if I get egg on my face, then I get egg on my face. But it sounds like something that thoughtful people have accomplished. And if it goes through, that's a good thing. And as much as we value on issues, we will also come up and try to say when we support what you're doing. Thank you.
Are you going to speak?
That's what I was waiting for.
Well, you've already been called up, so go
but
for
not
it.
But not asked to speak. So anyway, my name is Lightning. I'm absolutely against this. And one of the reasons is I think we're just kind of shuffling back and forth and not really doing a whole lot. And What I want to see actually have happen is, you know, that statement, we're always taken out of that piggy bank of the federal government. I want to see the city of Portland pay the full value of the $51 million to the federal government. And I don't like the way this is being shuffled. I don't like the fact that I don't think we're really accomplishing a whole lot. We're going to save $150,000 here. Another issue I have here is I haven't seen the appraisal. I have been trying my hardest to find that appraisal where you come up with a 2,000 acre, a 2,800 acre for 50 some million. I was on Zillow last night. I was doing comparables last night. I was trying to find everything I could near Mount Hood. Never heard of it. So I just want to see the comparables on the appraisal. Now, it is interesting. You have a $51 million value here. Well, here's something interesting to throw back. If everything burns up, are you going to claim that you are owed $51 million based upon this exchange and this valuation? Now, I, as a broker, am going to question that valuation, and I'm going to question how you determined that valuation. I'm going to question everything on that, on this $51 million. I want to see some comparables. I want to see some data. I want to see some issues pertaining to the lumber, to the mineral rights, to everything else that goes along with this, and how you came up with such a valuation on such a restrictive use property of $50 million plus dollars. I'm absolutely against this unless I see some legitimate comparables, sales, on the market comparisons to substantiate this outrageous value on an exchange. And again, I'm sure you're going to have this insured for the full $51 million, but what is that really going to pay back in the event that we do have a forest fire, which of course can happen because of climate change? And I want to see how you come up with that valuation. Because the insurance company ultimately is going to be looking at this number and saying, where did this number come from? I want to see an appraisal on this. As the public, I haven't been able to review. I don't want this voted in for many months until that appraisal is verified by some other competent appraisers to determine that value, because this is one big deal here. One big deal. $50 million for 2,000 acres of restricted forest land? I've never heard of such an outrageous price. Thank you for your time.
Okay, what I have to say is this is going to be sort of a private area for rich people to play. We already have parks around the city of Portland and the county of Multnomah County where we have city employees, whether they're environmental engineers or rangers or directors of parks, where bathrooms are closed, where people don't have access to bathrooms.
Maggie, I need to ask you to keep your testimony relevant to this item.
I am. So what I want to know is everyone going to have access to this no matter what?
No, nobody has access to it.
It's just going to be closed off.
It's for drinking water.
So will anyone be able to like go up there privately and pay a fee and just rent it like a country club?
No.
So it'll be closed to everyone.
Except not Wolfsburg a stuff.
So like even the mayor won't even be able to get in there, right? Okay, because if you're going to close it off to everyone, fine. You're going to build a wall around it and or just make it not accessible to anyone, fine.
That's how
but,
it is.
Don't make it accessible to a certain section of the population and not everyone. Okay?
All right.
Did I say some closing remarks?
Yes. colleagues, discussion, remarks.
Did you want to say anything, Commissioner Fish?
No.
Okay. Commissioner Fritz.
Did you want to say anything, Madam President?
No, I am looking forward to your remarks.
My resume remarks. Yes. Edward Campbell and Richard Perryman, thank you so much for all of your work on this. This has been, as was said, 10 years of work, and it's a very solid proposal. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership, for
more than 4 years. I need to thank also Dick Robbins, who's retired, but got this process started way back in 2010, Sarah Petrosini, who has assisted the project lead since 2012, and Janet Senior, who took over for Dick in 2013 and guided it to completion. Thank you also to Mike Sturr, Gabe Solmer, and Christian Nieves in my office for their leadership of this. This is a really good thing. And so we'll be voting on it. I misspoke earlier. It will be July 24th, and it's a really significant improvements in protection for the bull run. Thank you very much, everybody.
This is the first reading of a non-emergency item. It moves to second reading. Keelan, please read items 625, 626, and 627 together.
625, refer amendment to the city charter regarding protections for Bull Run watershed. 626, refer amendment to the city charter regarding emergency mutual aid agreements. 627, refer amendment to the city charter regarding public use of city lands for permissive secondary purposes.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Madam President. First, I have an amendment to agenda item 625, which is the protection for the Bull Run watershed. Due to a grammatical error, the following change is needed in the last paragraph of Exhibit A, which you have been given copies of. And essentially, the amendment to the charter will now read, development in the Bull Run watershed closure area that is allowed by the charter must first seek to avoid, then minimize and mitigate for impacts. So seek to was the grammatical error. Thanks to Terry Thatcher, retired city attorney, for continuing to volunteer as in the community to keep us on track. Second. So I move the amendment.
Moved by Commissioner Fritz, seconded by Commissioner Fish.
Could we vote on that to put it on the table too?
Right now?
Yeah.
Keelan, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Thank you, colleagues. I've been the commissioner in charge of the Water Bureau for just about 8 months. And as many of you know, I am a person who studies the rules when considering any issue. When I looked at the city code and the city charter for the rules governing the Water Bureau, I was astonished to find there is nothing in the city charter about the Bull Run watershed. As was noted earlier, there is language in code, but the code is supposed to follow the charter, not the other way around. And the charter requires a vote of the people to change it. The code can be changed by city council. So although there are federal and state protections that are reflected in city code, I believe the charter should embody our values of Portlanders, especially for the most basic of all basic services, our delicious pure drinking water. I was also troubled by court rulings that questioned the council's authority to make decisions in the public interest for the uses of the waterfront. So I was excited to bring before you today three resolutions which all align with the council's shared value and benefit to our precious water system. Slight change, I am asking today for your support in referring two of these three separate amendments to the Portland voters in November 5th. Those would be the protections for the Bull Run watershed, which is 625, and authorizing City Council to enter into mutual aid agreements, which is 626. The third item, 627, clarifies the City Council's authority to allow waterfront dollars to be spent on the maintenance of lands outside the protected areas of Bull Run. And this needs more conversations and work before being presented to voters. I have heard enough concern from environmental advocates and the Citizens Utility Board since we opened the discussion draft public comment period that I will be pulling this back to my office after the hearing today. If anyone is here to testify in favor, please speak up. I still believe this is the right thing to do. However, there are some legitimate concerns, and I believe the timing is not right. In the meantime, I would ask for your support to refer the two most important measures to voters, which will allow all Portland voters to engage on these issues in November of this year. I believe that Portlanders share my values of environmental protection, health and safety, and financial responsibility. That is what these resolutions represent. My senior policy advisor, Christina Nieves, the liaison to the Water Bureau, will provide a presentation on these two items, and then we will have two panels of invited testimony.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good morning, Council members. My name is Christina Nieves, for the record, policy advisor to the Office of Commissioner Amanda Fritz. I'm here before you today to review the two different resolutions referenced by Commissioner Fritz. The first, and perhaps the most important, is maintaining the current protections for our Bull Run watershed, assigning Portland voters the right to decide changes in the future. The Bull Run watershed provides high-quality drinking water to the Portland metro area. Many people brag about the quality of Portland's water, and anecdotally, I can say I have taken the quality of our water for granted. I'm harshly reminded of how lucky we have it here whenever I travel. The current protections in the Bull Run closure area, including restricting public access on city lands, not only provide safe and usable water, but also have positive impacts on ecosystems and support the city's environmental goals. The first resolution asks Portland voters to place current protections that we already have in our city charter, so that they are able to stand the test of time and changes in authority. The second item allows City Council to allow the Water Bureau to enter into emergency mutual aid agreements with other jurisdictions. This will essentially ask the voters whether they want the ability to receive aid and related to water services, as well as supply it to other communities when necessary. During Hurricane Katrina, for example, city staff were dispatched to aid in maintaining and repairing crucial infrastructure. It was the right thing to do. A judge then questioned the City Council's authority to send that aid. The second resolution provides clarity in answering that question. These two referrals, which will be separate ballot measures, seek to benefit the water system and those who use it. By referring these items to the November 5th, 2019 ballot, Portland voters will have an opportunity to engage and decide on issues of environmental protections and health and safety in a timely manner. That concludes my portion of the presentation. I would like to now turn it over to our invited guests. Our first panel, we have Regna Merritt from Physicians for Social Responsibility, Janice Thompson from the Community Utility Board, and Mike Hook from Urban Green Space Institute. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you all for being here. Regna, would you like to start, please?
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here today to address the legacy issue of Bull Run and resolutions that deals with 625. I'm here to speak in support of that, and I appreciate your pulling back on 627, which we consider to be controversial. There's a huge legacy to be discussed here today, and I just want to recall for a moment that although my work on Bull Run protections began in 88, I spent time in the city archives reviewing what had been done in the 1800s. The forefathers and the foremothers in Portland wanted to have a watershed that was fully protected from human trespass because they wanted to protect residents of the city from having to drink the waste that was coming from the Willamette, untreated and treated human waste. And so that was the impetus, that and deciding that we didn't want to have domestic animals. Putting waste into our drinking water was one of the original incentives for moving forward with the whole idea of no trespass. So in 1904, the Trespass Act was passed, and that prevented the entry of humans into the watershed if they were going to disturb the watershed in any way. Some of you may remember that in 1950, the Forest Service started logging in the Bull Run, violating the terms of that federal legislation. And it was then that Joe Miller, and today is the anniversary of his death. We want to remember what a great hero he was, and he was a personal mentor as well, I want to acknowledge. Thoughts from the 50s, that violation of the 1904 Trespass Act. And there was a very huge citizen-led effort to correct that, but instead, what we saw was a law passed to void the 1904 Trespass Act and to allow logging. Many in this room and many who are watching on TV today remember what it took to get the city of Portland to and the Water Bureau to agree to support federal legislation that would again protect the Bull Run from trespass. And so we had important legislation in 1996 and again federal legislation in 2001 that brought those protections back. These were hard-fought battles, and it's really nice to be on the same page with the city now, because it wasn't always like that. So we have to look, as we look at the land exchange, we understand that we're losing those hard-fought protections for a certain subset of lands. Those are the lands around the reservoir. So they might be most attractive for development if a future city council or water bureau wanted to violate kind of the understanding that we've come to that could happen more easily with only land ordinances in place, not so easily with a charter amendment in place. That's why we support this charter. We know there are other cities that have actually cut their municipal watersheds to raise money, and we would never want that to happen. Just a reminder that it's not just for the citizens who have benefited from an undisturbed watershed, but there are also businesses that are located here because of the clean drinking water, microbreweries, Japanese restaurants. We have a whole slew of incredible businesses here that rely upon the cleanest drinking water, and that comes from an undisturbed watershed with no trespass. So I'm here with Physicians for Social Responsibility to congratulate you on putting this forward and to add our support, our very strong support. There'll always be vigilance required when it comes to our drinking water. We've seen that over 100 years. This is a very important step to protecting it. Thank you very much.
Raina, thank you for being here today. Thank you for all of your work over many decades on this issue. I was honored to attend your retirement from Physicians for Social Responsibility on Sunday, along with Multnomah County Chair Kafori and many other well-wishers. So I think our entire community owes you a huge debt. Thank you for being here today. It's very fitting that we're doing this as you move on to other things.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Janice Thompson, Oregon Citizens Utility Board, or CUB. I wholeheartedly support the Bull Run Protections provisions. This was actually foreshadowed by comments I made during the discussion a couple summers ago now, related to how to address losing the Cryptosporidium treatment variant. That variance process included any number of protections to the watershed. And so I think there were valid concerns raised then that if those concerns were dealt in a different way by the subsequent treatment decision to go with the filtration plant, was something along these lines necessary? And so, you know, at that point in time, I indicated that, you know, that could be an appropriate, next step. So support it now, kind of just highlighting that this support is kind of foreshadowed by some previous comments. Given our role as a fiscal watchdog, however, I would be remiss if I do not bring to this discussion information about the cost of special elections, which are borne by the pertinent bureau. So estimates from Multnomah County, and to be clear, they are estimates. The actual bill to the Water Bureau only comes after the election because turnout is one factor in their cost calculation allocation formula. You know, the Multnomah County elections folks have been doing this a long time, so I think it's fair to say that these estimates are, you know, in the ballpark. So with one Portland measure, along with the anticipated Metro bond, the cost for the Water Bureau would be in the ballpark of $245,000, $250,000. With two, the cost to the Bureau would be in the ballpark of $335,000. In other words, the cost doesn't double, but it adds. So, and if these measures were on the 2020 ballot, not a non-special election, there would be no cost. So I find a much far more compelling reason to do the Bull Run resolution now. I mean, I would not be bent out of shape if it moved to 2020, but I find a more compelling reason to move on that now. I do have questions related to the mutual aid charter amendment, not on the basic purpose or intent of it, but whether or not a little bit more work would be prudent to kind of have it be, you know, more comprehensive. And so, for example, both the Water Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services are members of an Oregon network related of utility bureaus called OrWarn. And my understanding from the Water Bureau is a charter change, you know, is not needed for the Water Bureau to continue that membership. Of course, I see the value of agreements with out-of-state entities, and that in particular is what would be, I think, facilitated by this you know, particular charter amendment. A question I've had, and the catch, of course, is I can't ask questions of the city attorney, is does the same legal issue that is prompting this suggested move regarding to the Water Bureau apply to BES? Even if it does, you know, exactly how that might be fixed. I mean, BES definitely has provisions in the charter, you know, maybe more provisions about BES are in statute. And then the other question, but it just seems like, you know, before I'm really comfortable with saying, let's just kind of move ahead on 2019, let's take a look to see if something similar is also prudent for BES.
And it's what we thought was, we'll give this one a whirl, and if the voters like this one, we'll look to BES.
I'm sorry, what?
We will ask the voters on this one. This is an amendment to the Water Bureau section of the Charter. If the voters approve this, then we can also look at doing a similar one.
Right, or you could do both in 2020. So
I'm not doing two campaigns, Janice.
All right.
And besides which, we don't know when the big one is going to hit. So I think getting these mutual aid agreements done as soon as possible is in public interest.
I think the other question I have is whether it would be prudent to think about, you know, a more citywide policy about mutual aid. So, you know, the end result of these deliberations may be that this is exactly the one to move forward. As I say, I just don't see as compelling reason to move forward without this analysis about other pieces of the puzzle.
Thank you, Janice.
But I want to reiterate the full support for what I think is, you know, the most critical amendment, charter amendment related to the bull run protection.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Mike Houck. I'm here representing the Urban Green Spaces Institute. And about this time, 44 years ago, 1975, I sat before a congressional hearing on Bull Run, at which Commissioner Ivancy, at the time, who was in charge of the Water Bureau, actually was proposing federal legislation that would weaken protection of Bull Run. So it pleases me no end to be here today, 44 years later, to thank Commissioner Fritz and the entire council, by the way, for being a much more progressive, forward-thinking individual and organization with regard to environmental issues. And I'm unequivocal in our support for both of the measures before us today. And I'd like to add that I'm also very supportive of the concept of the measure that's been pulled. I think, for example, of Powell Butte. What would Powell Butte be today if there weren't the ability for the Water Bureau to work with the Park Bureau and others? Another example, there are, of course, hydro parks in North Portland that I think have greatly enhanced the livability of those neighborhoods. So I understand and support the fact that there needs to be a little more refinement of the language to tighten it as much as possible. But I think that's a classic example of trying to tear down some of the silos that we keep talking about wanting to attack in the city and have more cooperation between bureaus and with bureaus and the public. So we're here, the Urban Green Spaces Institute, to thank you and to urge your support.
Thank you very much. Our second panel is Steve Weiss from the Sandy River Basin Watershed Council, Courtney Ray from BARC, and Micah Meskel from the Audubon Society. And we are a little bit behind schedule, so if you can be brief, that would be great. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Steve Wise. I'm Executive Director of the Sandy River Watershed Council. Thanks for the opportunity to come and talk to you about the importance of the Bull Run for the city as well as the broader region. As if it weren't enough to have one of the world's best water supplies, it's important to understand that the Bull Run is also the foundation of our economy, our community's health and culture and quality of life. We like to say in the Sandy that the Bull Run is the source of all the beer and beervana, all the coffee and coffeetopia, and so many of the things that that really make it a special place to be here. As well, the Water Bureau and the Forest Service and the Watershed Council are part of a 15-agency partnership working throughout the Sandy River Basin for protection and restoration of the watershed and its many values, particularly as a wild salmon stronghold. That is one of the few places in the region where the wild salmon have a really great chance of recovery since the Marmot Dam was removed in 2007 by PGE. So the Water Bureau and the Watershed Council collaborated on the State of the Sandy report a couple years ago with the remarkable finding that three of the four federally listed wild salmon species in the Sandy have begun to recover their populations since the removal of dams in the watershed. And the protections in the Bull Run for temperature and for flow and habitat quality are an essential part of that effort in bolstering salmon populations in the Sandy. The Water Bureau has been collaborating on monitoring of the fish populations, particularly juveniles in the basin, and a remarkable finding that almost half or more of the juvenile steelhead in the entire Sandy Basin are using the Bull Run in their migration out of the basin on the way to the ocean. And the Bull Run and the Little Sandy there within the Bull Run watershed represent only a couple percent of all the available stream miles for fish, and yet almost half of those steelhead are using the Bull Run. So it's really essential for fish habitat and environmental quality there, and that these protections are really essential, yielding about 4,000 adult steelhead returning to the basin on average in the past few years, which is a huge recovery level. Secondly, the investments from the Habitat Conservation Plan, the HCP, that the city is investing in are essential to habitat recovery and improvements throughout the Sandy Basin beyond the Bull Run. We are collaborating this summer on a project at the junction of the Sandy and the Salmon Rivers that's recovering floodplain habitat and side channels that will help to continue boosting salmon productivity. And the investment from the Habitat Conservation Plan and the partnership on land where the city has captured a conservation easement are, again, examples of really essential support that the Water Bureau and its actions in the Bull Run are providing to the broader Sandy Basin. And then finally, on the third item that I wanted to emphasize is that the Sandy has been documented by the U.S. EPA as a cold water refuge to the Lower Columbia. That is, the temperature in the Sandy River in the hottest part of the year is 3 degrees cooler Celsius than the Columbia is, and the Columbia temperatures might be lethal to fish, so they need to find these refuges along the way where they can step out into cold, clean water, rest, and then move on upriver. The Sandy is the only clean cold water refuge identified like that for 30 miles in either direction on the Columbia. So again, these temperature, everything that we can do to maintain the cool temperatures of the Sandy during the summer are really essential to the broader regional recovery and climate resiliency, because that cold water input is not only essential to the Sandy, to recreation and fish habitat, but also potentially to regional recovery in the Columbia. So for all these reasons, I want to encourage the strengthening of protections, including in the city charter. I want to invite you to come join us and visit the Sandy at your earliest convenience to see this work in action and continue the partnership that we have with the Water Bureau and the broad partnership that is working for recovery in the Sandy and the Columbia Basin.
Thank you for being here today. That's really interesting. Courtney?
Thank you, Commissioners. Representing BARC, we are a watchdog group focused on the Mount Hood National Forest. For 20 years, we've been working with concerned community members and volunteers to monitor the Forest Service's management of the public lands. We represent over 25,000 contributing members and an additional about 15,000 supporters for almost 50,000 folks in the region surrounding Mount Hood that we count as our community. And also thank you to Ms. Merritt and Mr. Houck for the context on federal management. These things shift, sometimes dramatically. And so we are really encouraged and supportive of the resolution to enshrine these protections for Bull Run into the city charter. We also think it's an important step in the city's commitment to climate resilience, ensuring that no matter what administration at the federal level, Portland will have the ability to defend the highest level of protections for these national forest lands that provide our drinking water, shielding the watershed from industrial development or logging. We hope the city will continue forward in these type of efforts, leveraging the future of our communities and the power of the city government to protect all the waters of Mount Hood, as we know we were going to need every drop of it, not just the Bull Run, and every drop of it is precious. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Commissioners, my name is Micah Meskel, and I'm with Portland Audubon, and I'm representing the organization and our 15,000 members in the region. So Portland Audubon has long been invested in protecting the Bull Run watershed and the city's water resources. We own and manage land adjacent to the watershed and are very invested in the stewardship of the region. I'd like to thank Commissioner Fritz and her staff for bringing this forward and for the leadership of the Water Bureau and how that has built upon Commissioner Fish's work at the Water Bureau preceding that. So we support both 625 and 626, and we also do support the idea that land owned and managed by the Water Bureau should have the ability to provide secondary benefits for the community and environment when it is compatible. And we believe the Water Bureau currently has that authority, but we also agree with and support Commissioner Fritz's decision to pull the referral at this time, and we are committed to continuing to engage in that conversation to further bolster it so we can bring it to the community into the future. So as we've heard today, the Bull Run watershed is one of the natural resource gems of the city of Portland. The Water Bureau has been a great steward of that land and in recent memory, and current city code gives it strong protections, but it deserves the more lasting protections for future generations. These protections not only protect water quality, which is so important to our way of life, but also provides undisturbed refuge for fish and for wildlife, which is critically important, especially as our region feels the pressure of climate change. In addition to the Bull Run protections, we also support referring the authorization of mutual aid agreements to city charter. This is the essential component for planning, for responding to natural disasters, and for increasing the city's own resilience in the face of a disaster that we feel. Portland Audubon is wholeheartedly in support of moving these protections and mutual aid agreements to the city charter, and we're excited about engaging our membership and the broader community in educating and bringing them along to vote for it in November. So we appreciate your leadership.
Thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it. That concludes our presentation.
Thank you. Keelan, is there any testimony?
Yes, we had separate sign-up sheets.
It's just testifying on all three of them together.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, we had three people sign up: Maggie, Dee White, and Floyd Jones.
All right. Everyone, please come up if your name was called. You have 3 minutes. Please keep your testimony relevant to one of the three items and state your name for the record. Welcome.
Maggie, your name is called first.
So there was the senators were on C-SPAN yesterday talking about the amount of heat that is stored in our oceans and our streams and our rivers, and it's the amount of 4 Hiroshima-style bombs every second of every hour of every day being stored in our water. That means that as global temperatures go up, as they will continue to do because of CO2 emissions, those waters are going to get warmer and warmer, and those fish are going to get smaller and smaller. And you know, it shouldn't take 44 years to protect water, to protect land, to preserve habitat for wildlife shouldn't take 44 years. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dee White. I'd like to comment on the First Amendment on protecting Bull Run. This is an important and excellent addition to the city charter. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. There are stakeholders which oversight for writing this amendment, including the Public Utility Board or the PUB and Audubon, physicians, BARC. This is really good. This protects, hopefully, Bull Run and the rest of the system from privatization from the likes of CH2M Hill, Nestle, Corolo, and on, who would all love to have even a tiny piece of this precious asset that the citizens of Portland own and take great pride in. On the other hand, these other two amendments to the charter, and I've got my testimony written, the other two amendments to the charter are bad, bad, bad. These are two of the many bad deals that Randy Leonard put together when he was in office that were declared illegal in 2017 by the court in a lawsuit brought by law ratepayers. The judge found that ratepayer money was being spent on stuff that has nothing to do with water and sewer service that we pay for. Whose idea was this? Commissioner Fritz, these are not housekeeping items, as you said in your blog. These are proposed laws that y'all want to get on the city charter that nullifies the court order. You clearly are not interested in being transparent with the public who will be paying for disasters outside of Portland. Why should Portland ratepayers pay for a hurricane? Ratepayer money should not be used to expand this program of maintaining and building parks, community gardens, green spaces. No. Add a block on the water bill for contributions. Do not make us pay for this. A single mom out in East Portland can't afford this and should not be responsible for paying something that doesn't have anything to do with water. Both of these proposed amendments are about land and money, two things the council has control over. These amendments, these second two, had no oversight, no stakeholders involved, and oversight for the Water Bureau and the BES right now is seriously broken. Last week, half of the PUB resigned, including the two co-chair, and because the city has stacked the board with city employees, therefore implying perceived bias and conflict of interest. So, no, these two amendments should not be brought to the charter. Please vote no on both of these. But the Bull Run protections is excellent. Thank you.
Loy Jones, I'm with Friends of the Reservoirs, and as you know, we've been Bull Run water system advocates for a very long time, working diligently for over 17 years. So, thanks to our forefathers, our Portland's Bull Run water system was perfectly designed to provide safe, low-cost drinking water, a federally protected watershed that restricts human and domestic animal entry, minimally treated pure water, and beautiful and utilitarian open reservoirs that vent disinfection byproducts and toxic radon found in the well field. Unfortunately, thanks to votes at council and high costs, $450 million eliminated the open reservoirs. Now we're going to spend $400 million to add a chemical adding filtration plant. We support, obviously, the charter amendment for watershed protections for our federally protected Bull Run watershed, particularly in light of the land exchange with the Forest Service. The Water Bureau was complicit in the illegal logging in Bull Run years ago, and we hope that this amendment to the charter, serves to protect forever our watershed. The other amendments we do not support, and the ratepayer advocacy group, Water Accountability, Trust, and Reform, and Judge Bouchon did not say that you could not enter into agreements with other agencies for disasters. It just said that you could not use restricted water funds. Do you want the Water Bureau traveling to California and all over the country and spending ratepayer money? Middle-class ratepayers now cannot pay their water bills. And you've projected an increase of 7% per year for the next decade to pay for this this filtration plant. You voted for the most expensive plant to address the non-infectious, harmless cryptosporidium that's been in the watershed since the beginning. We've always had that there. There is no problem, but yet we're spending the most that one could possibly spend to address a problem that doesn't exist. And I'm glad to see that you've pulled the other amendment. I mean, why would we want to continue to spend money on remodeling buildings like the Rose Festival building, spending $1 million to build a house up at Powell Butte for a Water Bureau employee to live and manage the park? A Dodge Park renovation where Water Bureaus go and party, and we happened upon that by accident 2 years ago. Went out there and the buses were all coming and the Water Bureau was having a big party there. And they're going to have another party here in July. So we don't support those amendments, and we really think you need to be transparent about the pub resignations.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Keelan, can you call the...
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh.
Just a moment.
And I represent
just a
individuals
moment,
for
Mr.
justice.
Walsh. Just a moment,
we
Mr. Walsh. Keelan, can you please call the...
And this is not
next people.
Vote, I'm not taking a vote.
Mr. Walsh, can you cut his mic, please?
And I am going to speak. This is my time, my 3 minutes.
I am following procedure and having you asked up to the table. You are now disrupting, and I will ask you to leave.
Go to your room. Go hide like the mayor.
Mr. Walsh, you're disrupting, and you will leave now.
Insane. What he wants to say.
I'm calling a recess.